Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Tzav Shishi, the sixth Aliyah in Parshas Tzav. The topic of our Aliyah is the last slaughtering. So now, if you remember, we've just heard about the slaughtering of the shechting of the par hachatas, the bull, which was a sin offering, and the first el ha'olah, the first ram. Now we hear about the el hasheni, the second ram, which is a part of the inauguration ceremony. Remember, this is done for 7 days in a row at the inauguration of the Mishkan. And what we hear is that Aaron and his children both do smicha on this, and they shecht it. Vayishchad, Moshe shechts this korban, and he takes its blood, and what he does with the second ram is he takes its blood and he places it on the hands, the right thumb, the right toes of the Kohanim, and he brings them all close, and he places it on their ears, on their hands, on their feet, to make this as part of the inauguration of the Kohanim. We discussed this a little bit in Tetzave. Why is it the hands? Why is it the ears? We discussed a few of the details there. But in the meantime, then he takes the chelev and the alias, he takes the parts of this korban, and he puts it all together, the shokei amin, and he then takes the basket of matzos, and out of that he takes one rakik, one chala, and he puts it on the shokei amin, on this right-handed thigh, he places this all on the hands of Aaron and his children, and he does a tenufa, which means a waving in front of Hashem. We discuss this again in Tetzaveh as to what this means as well. And then he burns it all on the Mizbeach. It is an olah, it is a burnt offering as well, and then Moshe Rabbeinu then waves the zchazeh. This is the chest, the meat of the korban from the El Amilim, and it was to Moshe as his portion because Moshe is acting as the priest. Moshe is acting as the kohen right now as he is leading it for that, leading it for Aaron in the meantime while he's being inaugurated. Our Aliyah runs from Perek Ches, Pasuk Chof Beis to Chof Tes, which is a sum total again of 8 psukim. So let's take a few questions. The main question that we're going to focus on here actually relates to an aspect of cantillation. That means the trup, the way that this Aliyah is actually read. So as we know, there are words in the Torah. There are no nekudos. That means to say that when you look at a Sefer Torah, there are no vowelization of the different words. That already is an interpretation. And there's no trop, there's no cantillation, which is essentially the indicators of how the tune works when it comes to this. So in our Aliyah, we have a very unique, note, which is used in Pasuk Chaf Gimel at the very beginning, and it is called a shal sheles, which literally means a chain. The way it reads, it only appears 4 times in the Torah, but the way it reads over here is Vayishchat. So it goes up and it goes down, and it goes up and it goes down, and it goes up and it goes down. So unusual. Why is this? Why is this here as well? So there are numerous different reasons as to why it is over here. And that one of the reasons is that actually this is, from the perspective of the logic of cantillation, it is worthwhile knowing there is a number of suggestions which are made about this. And the first word in this Aliyah, or this Pasuk, here in Pasuk Chav Gimel, actually is a word which stands by itself. Meaning to say, it's not that it is, you know, a phrase which has a, we'll call it introduction word, leading to the end of this phrase. It is a phrase with one word. Usually when you have a phrase which is of multiple words, you'll have something before then which is called a zarka, which is a sort of interleading note, which sort of allows the cadence to reach its crescendo at the end of this little semi-brief or this phrase. Here we do not have that. It's almost as if the word vayishchat stands by itself. And when that happens, when this anomaly occurs, it has a shalshelis to indicate that this phrase is only a one-word phrase, which is why this explains the other places in the Torah as well, where this occurs, that it is a word which is its own phrase. That's perhaps one explanation. However, there is another explanation, the Talmid Akra, that Rav Chaim Kanievsky in his commentary on the Torah suggests, and that is it's to indicate that this process took longer. Why? Why is that a necessary? Because he says that if you look at the sacrifices right over here, we have 3 sacrifices. There's the par, which is the schatas. There is the olah, the first olah, and the second one. What is unique about the second el hamiluim, this ram of the inauguration, is that its blood is used to put on as part of the inauguration, on Aaron and his children. That being the case, you need to collect a significant amount of blood in order to be able to do this. So therefore, the shechita itself, the slaughtering, was done slower, it was done more carefully in order to be able to facilitate the collection of more blood. Therefore, the note is to indicate Vayishchat, to indicate in the way that we actually hear it, that it was done slowly. That's what Rav Kanievsky explains as well. It also could be, there's a sefer called Torah Vadas, which explains that this is to emphasize that the main korban of the miluim was this last korban, not the chatas and the ola which came beforehand. Okay, so it's to emphasize that this korban was the main one, not the ones which follow it as well. Another possibility as well. So it's the emphasis. So we've seen three explanations. One is from the perspective of cantillation. It is a phrase which is only one word. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who explains that it's to indicate it took longer, and perhaps the time of the Torah Vadas to explain that it is the emphasized, it's the main focus of all these karbonis. However, there's another explanation which is yielded by the Ibn Kaspi. Rav Ibn Kaspi has a commentary on the Torah in which he says that this, whenever you see a shalsheles, it indicates a level of oscillation in the emotion, which means to say there's a backwards and forwards in the person who is doing this actions, emotional equilibrium. It's going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, which is what their note seems to indicate as well. So if we go back to there are four which are found in the Torah. The first is to be found when it describes, there are a few of them, but when it describes that Lot, in Bereishis Perek Yotes, Lot was trying to leave the city of Sodom, but it describes how he was tarrying, he was not going, and the angels had to pull him out. There is where one of the shalsheleses occur. The reason for that is over there is because part of what he was conflicted about was, on the one hand, it was all his investments, his name, his town, all his wealth, everything was behind him. Should he leave all of that to destruction? If he leaves it and there's no destruction, people are going to take it. And therefore, he is conflicted, at which point in time the angels need to pull him out while he is tarrying. That is his we'll call a conflict there. Then when we get to the second one, which is in Perek Chav Dalet in Sefer Bereishis, that's when Eliezer reaches the well and he's trying to find the right person to marry his master's son. So he's looking and he is praying to Hashem and he is davening to God that he should find the right person. And it describes over there is this shalsheles over there. Why is that? So as Rashi points out earlier on, is that Eliezer had his own daughter. He really wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak. He was the most trusted servant of Avraham. Avraham had said, well, not really, we don't have the right lineage for the two families to come together. You should go find somebody from Yitzchak, and if not, then you can perhaps, then we can reconsider. And that being the case, Eliezer is on the one hand trying to fulfill his dear master's bidding by finding the right person. On the other hand, it's painful to him because he knows that in the day, if he does succeed in that, he will ultimately not be able to have his daughter married to Yitzhak. So there's this conflict in and of himself. The third case is where Yosef is in the house of Potiphar in Perek Lamentes in Bereishis, in which we hear that he is Vayimo'ein, and on the word of his refusal for the intimate bids made by Mrs. Potiphar, he refuses, and what's going through his mind is the struggle, this moral struggle. He's been rejected. Nobody had wanted him. His family's sold him down the river. Should he really hold up to the moral principles of his family, and nobody will really know, and this is his wife's mistress, why should he? But on the other hand, it's immoral. That struggle is what's indicated in the shalsheles. Here in Aralia, it's curious, because what struggle does it seem to be that Moshe Rabbeinu is shechting a korban? After all, he's just shechting a korban. And perhaps what the idea over here would be is that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this is the last korban he is shechting as a kohen, as a priest, because up to this point in time, he is the surrogate priest, because Aaron is not yet the priest. But comes the time after the miluim, after he has now sanctified Aaron and his children, at that point in time, Aaron will now become the kohen, and Moshe Rabbeinu will no longer have the privileges of shechting the korbanos like he did, like being the facilitator. And to him, that's a struggle. That's the last shalsheles over here, which is in our aliyah. With this, we conclude the sixth aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.